Thank you. So first, I would like to thank the organizers for inviting me to this workshop. And today, I'm going to talk about default intensity implied by CDO spreads. And our focus will be on an inversion formula and model calibration. So this is a joint work with Ramakant and Homan Degas. In fact, there's a very good, we just saw a very good talk on a qualitative analysis on model risk impact on innovative financial products, CDO, etc. In this talk, we are going to quantify those model risks and uncertainty. So we saw those in the last talk, but let me go over again. So credit portfolio models can be divided into two classes. Okay, first one is what we call bottom-up models, where we model the individual default rates with some kind of a correlation structure. And the classic example is the Gaussian coupler introduced by David Lee. Okay. And we can also have a dynamic model. For example, the factor can be driven by affine processes, which is first introduced by Duffy and Galliano. We can also have multi-name structural models. Okay. And the second class model is what I call top-down models. So we model the aggregate loss of the portfolio as an increasing jump process. And usually, we model its intensity. Okay, a simple example is the local, what I call local intensity model, is the intensity only depends on time and the loss process itself. Okay, we can have more factors, say a two-factor model, so we introduce an additional factor which can generate spread volatility between defaults. Okay, we can also have such exciting models, which by Gizeki, Goldberg, etc. Okay, so in this talk, we will first focus on top-down models. And at the end of the talk, when we do model comparison, we will also consider bottom-up model as well. Okay. So although the dynamic models are more realistic, they're typically more difficult to estimate. The reason is their lack of stable calibration methods. Okay. And the typical approach is we do a black box optimization over a non-convex, non-linear, non-analytic minimization problem. Okay, we minimize the error between, say, the prices produced by the model and market prices. Okay, the problem is there's no guarantee of convergence and stability. Okay, and there are some alternatives, but not a lot. One is by Kong and Minker, as they calibrate the portfolio default intensity through entropy minimization. But in my opinion, this method is quite complicated because you first consider an entropy minimization problem, okay? Then you look at the dual problem, then you solve a stochastic control problem, okay? Then you put it in a machine, and then you optimize numerically. Then you've converted back to what you have the intensity in the primal space, okay? Sounds complicated, at least to me. So I propose a somewhat simpler, which depends on only two things. First is an inversion formula. It's an analytical inversion formula and quadratic programming. Okay, simple. And with this calibration method in our pocket, another contribution of a paper is we do a comparison to other calibration methods. And what we saw is that there is a large amount of model uncertainty, actually, in terms of pricing and hedging. So we try to quantify, let's show you some examples on model risk. Okay? This roadmap that represents what we'll go through in the next 30 minutes. First, in the upstream, we have, say, CDO market data or a particular model in our mind. Okay? From here, you can find, we'll show later, you can find what I call expected charge notional. Okay? Which is simply, we will define later, which is simply analog to put option prices in the equity market. Okay. So with these prices, we can put into the machine, which is an inversion formula, we get something I call local intensity. So we will define it later more precisely, but this is an analog to the local volatility function. Okay. Now with the intensity, you can do pricing, hedging, and also model compression. So this is what we will go through in the next 30 minutes. So the first thing I'm going to introduce is the key component, the local intensity function. So we have the setting. So consider an equally weighted credit portfolio with finite number of names, say n names. We assume that the loss given difference is a constant. Okay, so the loss of the portfolio is simply a constant, the loss given default, multiply the counting process of defaults. Okay, so when I mention loss process, it's either like LT, the real loss, or NT, which is the counting process of number default. They are equivalent anyway. Okay, we assume that the counting process of default admits an intensity, and the interest rate are independent from the default time. Okay, now we define what I call local intensity function as the conditional expectation of your intensity, okay, and conditional on today's information, and the case that there are I number of defaults that have happened at time t. Okay, and this is the function. If you use this function, the argument of count of number of defaults, say I, replaced by the loss process, okay, this will become a process and we call it effective intensity. Right? So our goal is actually to recover this function A, or local intensity function. So why is it important? Well, there are several reasons. One reason is because of the mimicking theorem. So this theorem shown by Kuhn and Minkin in 2008 is consider a loss process with IID jump size and an intensity. Okay, you can actually define another like mimicking loss process, okay, say L tilde, which is a Markovian jump process with an intensity which is defined through the local intensity function. And the theorem tells us that at each point in time, the distribution of LT and L tilde T, okay, they're the same distribution. So what does it mean is the flow of the marginal distribution, okay, it only depends on the intensity through the conditional expectation, which is the local intensity function. Okay. Well, in the last 2 days, we've seen our talks talking about local volatility in Dupuy's formula, right? So actually, you will see already the analog to the Dupuy formula is the local intensity function, not the Dupuy formula yet, my apologies. You can see the local intensity function is analog to the local volatility function, okay? And we have also a mimicking theorem from the E2 process. And more generally, Bentata and Kohn show a mimicking theorem for a discontinuous semi-martingales. Okay, so you can see the analog between our setting and Dupuy's setting. Now, assume that we know the local intensity function. This is well known that we can obtain the transition probability or the marginal distribution by solving a Kolmogorov-Forward equation or the Fokker-Planck equation in this form. So with the distribution, we can compute, say, index default swap prices and also pseudo charge prices. Okay? So now, back to the map. Next thing I'm going to introduce is the expected charge notional. So what is that? That's simply the expected put payoff, okay, but now the underlying is on the loss process. Simple enough. So what financially means, we can give a meaning is, this is the remaining notional value, okay, of an equity tranche with a detachment point K at the time T. Okay, this is, you can have financial, but if you think it's too complicated, you're not familiar with the credit literature, think about it as just a put option value similar, okay? Why is it important? Well, unfortunately, this quantity is not directly observable from the market. But we are not too far from that because the mark-to-market value of a CDO tranche, okay, can be expressed as a linear combination of the expected tranche notional with strike price at the detachment and attachment point. Okay, so the linearity and also the only strike price at the attachment detachment point makes our later computation a lot easier. Yes? Oh, this is a discount factor. Yeah. we can show some model-free aesthetic arbitrage constraints for the expected function notionals. I'm not going to go over it, but the key is these constraints are also linear in the expected function notionals. Okay, so we are linear in the unknown arbitrage constraint and a linearity in the pricing constraint. This morning we saw the two-pair equation for call option. Now I show you is a similar formula, but for the expected charge notional. Okay, so this four equation will show as you can compute the expected charge notional directly from the given local intensity by solving this four equation. Okay, this is shown by Kong and Sesko in 2008. All right. So now we talk about how if we have local intensity, we can go this way to compute the expected charge notional very easily. We have the four equation. How about the other way? Because we want to do calibration, which is essentially the other way, right? And the next thing I want to show you is the inversion formula. So consider a portfolio loss process, okay? Pick your favorite credit model. Then, this theorem tells us that if certain condition is satisfied, local intensity function has this closed form, which is expressed in terms of the partial derivatives with respect to the expected charge notional. Okay? Well, but you may ask the question is, if we're doing calibration, we don't have a specific loss process or model in mind, right? We only observe is prices. So this gives another theorem. We should say, assume that now you observe a set of, say, a complete set of expected charge notionals. Okay? Then we define a function A in a similar way. So until this point, there are no model, stochastic, probability, no, only prices that you observe and define function. Now, if this function is bounded, we can show that there exists, now there's a probability component in place. There exists a Markovian point process with an intensity defined through the function on some probability space such that this Markovian point process is consistent with your observation of the expected charge notional. Okay? So this, the key difference is we start off with some observed prices and we end up with create some process and underlying processes that can be consistent with that. Okay? So this one will be useful for calibration. Right. Not difficult to see is this inversion formula is an analog to the two-pair formula for the local volatility. Okay? We also involve in the two-pair formula, they involve the partial derivative with respect to strike and the maturity. We also have a similar formula. Okay. Another remark is actually a formula for the local intensity has been shown by Schomburg in 2005. And they express it in terms of the transition probabilities. Okay? In some way, our formula is equivalent to this. And for computational purposes, this may be a little bit more difficult because, remember, I can express the mark-to-market value of CDO tranches with only strike at the attachment and detachment 2 points, right? But if you express it in terms of the transition probabilities, you have to consider all possible strikes, which is you make your computation a lot harder. Okay? So now, we show that if we have the ingredients, which is the expected charge notional, we can put into the machine, okay, and give me the intensity. That's good. The question is, how can you get the ingredient? So what I mean is, I have the CDO charge spreads. How can we recover at the expected charge notional? Okay. And the expected charge notional has to satisfy two things. First is the set static arbitrage constraint. And the second thing is the mark-to-market value constraint. And we saw before, both constraints are linear in the expected charge notional. So what it comes down to is our calibration problem is equivalent to solving a system of linear inequalities, Okay, so here I wrote everything in matrix form. So A and B are, A and B are matrices, and B and E, small e, are factors. Okay, and P is a set, a factor of expected transformation. Just matrix form to make it clean. Okay, in the paper that you can find on NSRN, we gave explicit formulation for these matrices. So if you're interested in implement the theory, the algorithm that I will show later, you can refer to that. Unfortunately, okay, in the paper we show that this system of linear inequalities can have infinitely many solutions. Yes? Yeah. So you have, you have. For a set of intermediate attributes, yes, that's true. So actually, in the paper, what we show is you can actually do a linear interpolation to make it consistent. Because what we bottom line is we have to consistent with these two things, right? And so in the paper, I actually didn't show here because it's more like a technical computational problem. It's a good question. So what we show is once we got a sparse set of maturities, we can do a linear interpolation, and the interpolation will still gives you static arbitrage constraint satisfied, then you can have a finite set. Okay. Now, so the problem what we have, I said, is we have infinitely many solutions. So how can we get a unique solution is we impose some convex function and solve this minimization problem. Okay? And this convex function, we take it in this specific form. Okay? This, what it means is this P, okay, is the variables that we are optimizing. P tutor is a reference set of expected transformational, which is predetermined. Okay? So what you can think of is P tutor is your prior view on the transformationals. Okay? W is just a weight to give us some flexibility. Okay? Of course, you can say, well, actually any convex function works because it's not really restricted to this form, but in this, when we do implementation, we'll use this function. The good, one advantage of this function is it will reduce the optimization problem, essentially our calibration problem, to a quadratic programming problem, which we have efficient algorithm to solve. Also, this setting is non-parametric. Okay. So in summary, our algorithm is the following. You compute the constraints according to the given CDO transpress and also the static arbitrage constraint. Okay. With these, you solve the quadratic programming problem, which I showed you in the previous slide. In that case, you will obtain a set of arbitrage-free expected charge notional and also consistent with the market data. Finally, you put it into the inversion formula and compute the local intensity. Okay? So this is the whole algorithm. Now, what we show is from the market data, we can all the way go to the intensity with the algorithm that I just showed you. We can do now model comparison, hedging, and also pricing. We apply it to two sets of data. I tracked investment grade data, one in 2006 and one in 2008. So we want to have the before and after the subprime to see if our comparison can be consistent across different dates. We also compare our method to the parametric method introduced by Herbertson and also the entropy method introduced by Kung and Minker. This table shows you the 2008 calibrated spreads together with the bid and ask. I just want to show you is that all the calibrated spreads are well within the bid and ask. Okay, so that gives us a basis for comparison that all models are calibrated, are well calibrated to the same set of market data. Okay. First, let's look at the function itself. The top three are calibrated to the 2006. The bottom three are calibrated to the 2008 data. The first one is from quadratic programming. Second one is parametric. Third one is entropy. Okay? So immediately, Okay, first thing is the shape for each calibration method that produced is very similar across two data sets. Okay, so it's not very sensitive to the data. And this, more importantly, you can see the function looks very much, very different. Okay, very different. Well, remember one thing, they give you the same CDO transcripts. That's key. The next thing we're going to examine is stability. We mentioned stability, problem stability before in last talk, and here I want to quantify. So what I do is I bump the market spread proportionally by 1%, okay? Then I recalibrate. And I compare the recalibrated intensity, local intensity function to the original one and see how much it has changed, okay? We observe that the non-parametric method, okay, here, and then how we measure the magnitude is we do like a Frobenius norm kind of thing to measure the changes. Okay, what we observe is non-parametric method are a lot stable, more stable than the parametric one. That actually may not be very surprising because similar finding has been found in study of aggregate derivatives earlier by Cohen and Tankoff in 2004. Okay, yes. Yes. How can I generate? Oh, good, very good question. So p-tutor is, okay, in practice, p-tutor is like up to you. It's like your proud view. And in this like particular implementation, how we generate, we generate from a Poisson process. So it's a flat prior equals to one, and then we compute this. Because it's interesting because if you think about it, it is a non-parametric method, right? If, for example, it's a trivial example is, if we take say this intensity, a parametric one, okay, we compute the expected charge notional, set it as our prior, they will give exactly the same thing, right? Yes. Yeah, that's true. Yeah, here, what I will show is, because it's like, you can argue that like a flat power is not realistic. Or in other sense, you can think about it as a flat power, maybe like, I don't have any information on how it looks like. Just pick a flat one. Okay, that can, but what I'm here, what I show is there are a lot of flexibility that you can generate very different local intensity function. Actually, that's the main message that I'm going to show. Of course, you can fit in other prior, and it will give you another look, and then that will give you another result. Right. Exactly. That's actually exactly the point that we want to make, because this is a lot of, okay, let's do this. If a prior is not too, if the result is not too sensitive to the prior, that means that you don't have a lot of model uncertainty. And this is actually exactly what we want to address, because the thing is people have been overlooked model uncertainty in terms of pricing. They introduce a model, they calibrate, and then they say, okay, let's use this. But they forget about, hey, this actually has a sustained model uncertainty because the prices, actually the problem comes in is the transpress is only like, you have what, 6 tranches for one maturity, which is very few, but we are determining a infinite dimension function, right? So this is a very much uncertainty in this form. And this is exactly what we want to illustrate. Okay. So we jump to uncertainty already. So here is a illustration on uncertainty. We use the calibrated local intensity function. We compute the forward stopping transpress, so it's exotic option. What you can see is the spreads can be different by a lot, maybe 4 times different. Okay. So that illustrates is there a lot of model uncertainty in terms of pricing, even we are in the same modeling framework, in the local intensity framework. Okay. Similarly, we compute the hash ratios, what I call jump to default ratio. So in the local intensity framework, the market is complete because the only risk factor is loss generated in the portfolio by default. So if you want, we can theoretically, you can replicate the CDO tranches by trading an index, and the hash ratio is what I call the jump to default ratio. Okay, that's a ratio when there's additional default in the portfolio. And here, this table shows you that the jump to default ratio can be a lot different across the calibration method as well. So what we want to illustrate is that even here is that all the local intensity function, I can reproduce the same CDO transpress, okay? But they can produce very different, say, exotic products, what we saw like forward transpress, and also hash ratios, okay? Now, the final part of my talk is, now we move on to, we start with different portfolio models, private portfolio models, okay? We can actually compare their implied local intensity and see if actually these models give us very different or similar local intensity, okay? I would consider six models. The first one is called the parametric local intensity model, which the intensity only depends on number of default in this specific parametric form introduced by Herbertson. Easy to see that the effective intensity is simply the intensity itself. Okay. The second model is the bi-rate spread loss model introduced by Asdorf and Hartree. And the difference is you multiply the parametric form introduced by Herbertson, okay, you multiply by an additional risk factor. This additional risk factor can generate spread dynamics between the faults. Okay? However, since the similarity of the parametric form, except for the additional risk factor, you may expect something similar in terms of local intensity as well. The third model, which is a short noise model, is also a top-down model, is the portfolio default intensity is modeled by the sum of a CRO process and a compound partial process. Okay, and interestingly, they give a Sandler and Rico formula for local intensity in this form. Okay, however, I want to comment as this form actually have little. I mean, it's difficult to use in practice because think about it. If you want to compute the local intensity at a strike of say 100 defaults, okay, you have to differentiate this function 100 times. You expand the terms, expand the number of terms exponentially fast, and then you actually, even you use a Mathematica, you can't really do it. Okay. So these are top-down models, and I will also do bottom-up models, which has Gaussian-Kapula model, the classical example, also the Sturm-Thiel-Kapula, and finally, I will also consider the affine jump diffusion model introduced by Dufieng and Lalano, in which the default intensity for each obligor is driven by, by the affine jump diffusion process. Okay. Now, this slide shows you the local intensity function implied by different models. This one is the parametric form that we have seen before. And the second one here on the top middle is the bi-rate spread loss. As I mentioned before, because of the similarity of their parametric form, you can see they have the similar shape in terms of local intensity. That's not surprising. For the short noise model, which is on the far right-hand corner, we can see the local intensity function is increasing. Okay, that's actually the point that made by Schumann in their paper of the short noise model, that because they explain it as the local intensity function is like a statistic of estimation for the intensity, original intensity. So the higher level of default is like the higher level likely the intensity will be, right? And actually we kind of do them a favor to prove it numerically. They didn't do it. So, and then for Gaussian-Kapula and T-Kapula, it's not surprising that they look very similar. And they also have a dome shape, kind of dome shape. But one interesting thing observation is the affine jump diffusion models, okay, also looks like a dome shape in terms of local intensity. Okay. But that may not be obvious in the beginning because the affine jump diffusion model is a dynamic model. Okay. And the Gaussian coupler or T-coupler is a static model. And if you look at them in terms of the local intensity, what it shows you is the market prices actually cannot discriminate these classes of models. Okay? So my time is almost up. So my conclusion is basically I've lost the time. Okay, that's good. Yeah, so I have 10 minutes for conclusion. No, I'm kidding. Just 3 minutes. So what we have derived is an inversion formula, which is an analog to the Tupia follower, and we can compute the local intensity function from the expected charge notion. Okay? Using this formula, together with a quadratic programming, we can actually have a simple and efficient and also stable calibration algorithm. Okay? Now, the second main contribution is using this algorithm and comparing with other calibration methods. Okay? We found that there are substantial differences in model-dependent quantities, such as hash ratios, such as exotic prices, as exotic financial instruments, the prices. And so it illustrates a substantial amount of model uncertainty. So we quantify what we have seen in the last talk. And finally, we look at the local intensity implied by different models. Okay? And we found that that can be the case that you have two very different models, one dynamic, one static, for say, and they can appear to have very similar local intensity. See? So if you look at it in that perspective, the market prices cannot discriminate them at all. So that's all I want to say. Thank you for your attention.